Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another episode of The Real with Sage Single Mom. Tonight's episode is all about self-care, how to take care of yourself to ensure that you're healthy enough to care for your baby. Tonight's hosts are myself, Charlsey, and Patricia, and we have two guests with us tonight, Ms. Leanne Fuller of Fuller Life Coaching and Calandra Williams of Truth Written Ministries. As mothers, we always seem to take care of ourselves last, and as single moms, we seem to be past last. So how do we take care of ourselves to ensure that we are healthy enough to care for our children? Tonight, myself and Patricia are going to speak with Leanne Fuller of Fuller Life Coaching and Calandra Williams of Truth Written Ministries to figure all of this out. A little bit about Leanne. She's a successful entrepreneur, women's transformational and Fuller Life Coach, Amazon number one international best-selling author, motivational speaker, and radio show host. She is the founder and CEO of Fuller Life LLC, where she empowers women to get their own, out of their own way, to transform their life, find their greatness, and to live their fuller life. She empowers them to find clarity about what it is they want, why, and what is standing in their way so that they can quit living small and begin living their fuller life. She is also the founder of Adopt a Mom for Christmas to give back to moms in need over the holidays. She's currently turning this into a year-round movement to support single and struggling moms all year round. She is the program director for WBOC, the premier organization for women in business in CNY. Ms. Calandra Williams lives in North Texas with her husband, Colas Williams, and their three children. An inspirational speaker, Christian blogger, mentor, and author. She is young and radical and passionate about kingdom building. Calandra is the co-founder of Truth Written Ministries. And through her testimonies, she hopes that she inspires someone to discover their purpose, their passion, and their power. When she's not out changing lives, she enjoys singing, dancing, reading, and spending quality time with her family. When you're a busy single mom, you prioritize work, your kids, your family, your friends, maybe a social life, and that might include dating. But we always seem to forget about the person that makes everything happen, and that's ourselves. Tonight, Patricia and I are going to speak with Leanne and with Calandra, and we're going to learn about the importance of taking care of ourselves and how to do it. Good evening, ladies. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
Awesome. Well, I don't know about all of you, but I know that self-care has definitely been probably one of my biggest struggles over the last 10 years. I tend to put myself last under the, you know, like under the doormat kind of person and don't usually notice it until I'm having a meltdown and realize that I need a little bit of me time. I will do everything in the world for everybody else before I remember to do something for myself. So I need like quick tips, you know, things that are easy. I'm really bad about me. I'll make a million excuses as to why I shouldn't do something for myself. So, you know, what are some just simple things that I can make an effort to incorporate into daily life that I am going to start to see like results from, you know, like kind of a maximum amount of, I guess, reward for just maybe something that's 10 minutes or 20 minutes to just kind of build on. What would you recommend?
For me,
For
me, I would say, because you were saying that something just kind of quick, and I think I look at self-care as loving yourself. So when you look at it from that aspect, you're saying, wow, I have to take care of me because I love me, and I can't love anybody else unless I love me first, not even the baby. Like, you have to love yourself first before you can give love to someone else. So I think one of the first things that I would recommend is loving the skin that you're in. Like, loving who God has created you to be, loving who you are, loving your imperfection, your flaws, your quirky ways. You know, I'm goofy, so I have to learn to love that part of me. And I think that's one of the biggest things, is just really loving who we are. And I think that gives us energy just as women to know, like, wow, you know, I'm beautiful, I'm powerful, I have passion, I'm a superwoman. Like, I make all of this magic happen around me, and I don't know how I do it because I don't have a lot of energy. But I think that's really important, is just really loving the skin that you're in. And that just gives us a lot of confidence, and it just really helps us to just walk in our purpose every single day as single moms.
Yeah, I think that's great. And that's definitely something that I know I've been making a personal effort. You know, it was a New Year's resolution, but, you know, here we are in September and I'm still struggling to not be so critical of myself. And it's funny because when I hear someone else describe me, I always kind of look at them with my head cocked to the side, like, really? Like, that's how you see me? Like, I can do all that. I didn't realize I do all those things, you know? I think we kind of get on autopilot, and we're doing so much that we don't give ourselves enough credit. And I think kind of giving myself permission to give myself some credit definitely helps. But I definitely am not an expert on the self-care. In fact, I almost didn't agree to host this one because I was like, I feel kind of like a hypocrite. But then I realized, you know, maybe I need to host the show to, like, learn some things, because I can tell somebody all day, like, how, like, what they should do, but then I totally do not take my own advice. So I'm hoping to walk away with this from, you know, with a little bit of advice, you know, on how to maybe schedule that time or force myself to take that time or to do those things. Because if I just, like, wait for myself to just have, like, a free 5 minutes and be like, oh, this is a great idea, it won't happen.
No, it won't happen. Do as I say, not as I do, right?
Yeah, right.
Exactly. So what about you? Are you doing anything to take care of yourself, or are you here like me to hopefully learn from these two ladies?
I'm hopefully learn too, just like you. I fall short. I have good intentions. I start off good, and before I know it, it's like I didn't do anything for myself, and it's just hard. You know, you're trying to juggle everything, trying to make sure they have and everything, and do what you have to do, and it just escapes you. But I'm learning to just try to do a little, you know, try to schedule it in, and
right.
It's just hard to find the time, or it's always something, but it is very important to do.
Absolutely. I know for me it's either the thing, what I have time for costs too much, and then, or what doesn't cost too much, I don't have time for. I find myself in, like, this weird little conundrum. And like, one of my coworkers the other day, she was like, you know, you should just take some time and, like, go get your nails done. And I said, you go get me a gift card and I'll do that.
Like, yeah.
You present me with that gift certificate for that pedicure and manicure and I will happily go. But don't, you know, like, don't take that for granted, I promise, because that's like a week's worth of groceries in our house. So it's not that simple. Leanne, what about you? What are your go-to recommendations? You know, when you meet someone or you come across someone and you realize that they're really failing themselves in the self-care department?
Well, Kalonda really hit a lot of things, a lot of it on the head with the self-love and how important that is. And I think the biggest thing is just giving ourselves permission to take care of ourselves, to love ourselves, to just do something for us. I always say a happy mom makes a happy home. If we are not happy, we can't make our children and our families happy. And it's sad that how much they see that. But it doesn't have to be a lot for self-care and self-love. It's just, I think, I agree, loving who you are, who you're meant to be, And just doing the simple things. Find something that you love to do, something you've always loved to do, and do that. It doesn't have to be expensive. You don't have to pay $25 for a manicure or a pedicure or $60 to do both. I mean, you can do your own nails and just have some time with yourself, just to be with yourself. I always say that you don't have to be perfect. Nobody's perfect, and we can't promise to be perfect, but we can promise to be real. So be real in who you are, whatever you like to do. I mean, and scheduling is so important, especially when we're busy moms. So if you have to schedule in your time to do for you, do that. Whether it's Sunday night, you know, you want to take 15 minutes after you get the kids to bed, decompress from the week, get ready for the next week. You know, it doesn't have to be any grand gesture. It could be going for a walk while your kids are busy at practices, or, you know, at the game, and just watch them while you're walking. Run yourself a nice warm bath at the end of the night after you put the kids to bed. Take some time to meditate. You know, some simple stuff like that. Or just sit there, as some people do, and just kind of chill. Just chill and be with yourself. So
That's my favorite thing in the world. I can't lie. People think I'm crazy. They're like, what do you like to do? You know, like right now, the job that I have right now, I'm off on Mondays. And, of course, my son goes to school. And people are like, oh, what do you do with yourself? I'm like, I take a nap with the dog, and it's glorious. I wake up from that nap, and I, like, scare the neighbors when I go outside, because I sleep so hard for, like, an hour, maybe two. And I look forward to that nap all week long, because I don't feel any guilt. My son's at school. I am off work. I get my little two-hour nap in, and it feels like 10 years went by while I was asleep, and I feel so refreshed. And then I pick him up from school. We spend the afternoon together, and then he goes to soccer. And it's like, should I have done 3 loads of laundry and unloaded the dishwasher and, like, sterilized the bathroom? Probably. But that nap is just, I almost want to set like a little countdown on my on this app on my phone, like, just to look forward to that nap every week, because I don't get interrupted. And nobody wakes me up. It's just this 2-hour nap that's just for me.
Yeah.
It's me and my dog snuggling up and just dead to the world for 2 hours. And it's amazing.
And that's the great thing about self-care and self-love, is it is different for everybody. Everybody makes their own decision what that looks like for them. And obviously, a nap is what you need and what you love. That's what you need. And those loads of laundry are going to be there when you wake up. The dishes are going to be there when you wake up. The bathroom is going to be there when you wake up. So do for you. I mean, it's all going to be there. It's not going anywhere. And no one's going to really remember, like, if your dishes were done or your laundry was done or if your bathroom was spotless. They're going to remember that you were taking care of you. You were happy, you know. That's what your kids are going to remember. That's what the people that you surround yourself with are going to remember. And the other one really big thing I want to say, and because what a lot of us do, or, you know, we feel like we're going to be judged because we're doing something for ourselves. Self-love and self-care is not selfish. It's necessary. It's a necessity to life. It's not something. So don't ever feel guilty or let anybody guilt you for doing something for yourself, whatever it is.
And it's really unfortunate, but I do feel that there is a bit of a maybe a culture issue or a stereotyping issue when it comes to single moms. When we take care of ourselves or we do things for ourselves, I feel like there are just certain people that want to throw shade at that. Like, oh, you must not actually be struggling since you find time to get your hair done. Or, you know, her nails are always manicured, so how bad can her life be? Or, I mean, just people that will openly make comments like that. And so it's almost, I've had to just get over it and just get past that. you know, I have showed up for dinners with a mom's group that I was in, you know, years ago, and, you know, and I work. And some of those, you know, because I'm the only person providing for this family, so I have to work. And some of these women did not work. And I would show up, you know, dressed in work clothes with my hair done and makeup on and things like that, and would get a lot of very snide, you know, comments or remarks of, I don't know, it was just kind of odd. Like, you know, must be nice to have time to do stuff like that. And that I don't actually have time, but it takes the same amount of effort to put on a pair of nice pants and a cute shirt as it does put on like dirty sweatpants and a t-shirt. So, that's just not, I don't really own clothes like that. So like, these are just my clothes, and I can't wear dirty sweats to work. So there's that. Mm-hmm. And I'm sort of expected to put some makeup on and brush my hair. So I don't know. I do feel like sometimes the way that we are depicted in media is just, you know, like we're supposed to look run down, or like we're supposed to look like we don't care about ourselves. And so sometimes that has been some kind of pushback that I have dealt with, or, you know, insinuating that the only reason I can afford to do those things is because I receive child support, which is very nominal. I'm not living a lavish life off my child support. I can assure you of that. I mean, just,
yeah. So let's break. I wanted to interject for a moment. Let's break that cycle as ladies.
Right.
You know, because we kind of mentioned that as well. And I was thinking, you know, I grew up and I saw my parents, my grandmother, my mother, they made it look easy. They made it seem like, you know, they didn't have a care in the world. And, you know, the household was taken care of. Dinner was on the table. The clothes were washed. The yard was tended to. You know, the bills were paid. It looked easy. They made it look easy. They sacrificed themselves to make sure that we had everything that we need. But what if what we saw is a strong, powerful women that never sweated, that never stressed? I think in the process it kind of damaged us some, because we have that same mindset to think, oh, it's selfish of me to have time to myself. It's not okay for me to look good, or it's not okay for me to put on makeup, because what I saw was that was considered selfish. And I think that's a mindset, and we have to shift that to say it's okay for me to look beautiful. It's okay for me to go get my nails done. It's okay for me to spend time with my friends. It's okay for me to take a nap. And guess what? I don't have to do all the chores on my list, because guess what? They're going to still be there, and you're going to have chores next week and the week after that and the week after that, and they just keep going. But it's like you have to take time to yourself to do things that you love. We do not have to be superwoman. I think that's what society has taught us to be, and it's made single moms feel guilty. I know a lot of women, they feel guilty about doing stuff. Like, they're like, I can't, I don't want to go out because the kids, you know, they need me, or, you know, well, my family, they'll think poorly of me. No, look, your kids will appreciate you more by you going to have time to yourself, by you going to rejuvenate your spirit and your mind and your body. But, like, if you're empty, you can't give anything to them. And what happens is you create a negative environment around them. I want my children to grow up to say, wow, I saw my mom take time out of her schedule to go and take care of herself, because that's a culture that I want to create. I don't want to create this, oh, I'm a strong woman and, you know, I just want to take care of the family. No, that's not normal. It's not realistic. So you start to create this unrealistic expectation for the next generation and for your children.
And then not only that, but it seems like living that way, when your last child leaves the house, then what do you do with yourself if
What's
you never
left?
Did anything for yourself? Like, are you just going to be completely and utterly lost at that point if 100% of your day revolved around someone else? And I don't even necessarily think that this is just a single mom struggle. This is definitely a motherhood struggle. And I
I agree.
For my show last week, you know, I was kind of taking a poll on, you know, just some different things, and was mainly asking other single moms, you know, it was about how to juggle working full-time and having school-age kids.
And a lot of married women and even some stay-at-home moms chimed in, and they were just like, look, I have a partner or I don't work and I'm struggling to do this. I can barely get everything done. I'm drowning in laundry. I'm drowning in dishes. I haven't had a haircut in 10 months. So it was really, in a way, so reassuring. And so many of my single mom followers and friends, you know, commented and then also sent me a personal message saying, oh my gosh, I'm so glad to hear that, because sometimes I think, oh, these women that don't work, or these women that have husbands, that because there's an extra set of hands or because they're able to stay home, that they're magically getting everything done and I'm the only one failing. And yeah, it was, I think, a really healthy discussion for them to learn, like, stop expecting yourself to do 100% of everything out there that's to be done, when even people that have two adults in the house aren't able to get it all done either. It's just too much stuff for anybody. And I think that's part of it. I know for my son, you know, he will chip in and help me with chores so that I can get done faster, because he wants us to spend time together. Or I'll say, you know what, if you can help me, you know, get the bathroom, you know, like, help me organize the laundry, you vacuum, I'll dust, or, you know, I'll split the chores up and then we'll go see a movie, or, you know, at 3 o'clock, but we've got to get all this stuff done by 2 o'clock so we can do that. He will get up off his butt so quick and help, because he would rather do that than me, than him, you know, go outside and play or play a video game and then let me do everything all by myself and have it take me till 6 o'clock at night, and then we're not going to see a movie. So I know that we have a little bit of, now that he's getting older, we have some trade-offs there. And then for me, I've had to learn to get over that guilt and just ignore, you know, the shady comments about, just sarcastic comments about makeup or hair or nails or whatever it is. For me, it doesn't cost me anything to do my makeup nice every day. I already own it. It doesn't cost me anything to blow out my hair and curl it and feel good about my hair. It's on my head.
That's something you're doing for you. And I always find, and no matter what you're doing, whenever somebody's judging you, two things. Number one, it's not about you, it's about them.
Yeah.
Right.
Whenever somebody is judging you, it is not about you. It's all about them. They have other issues of their own going on. And I find that a lot of time it's jealousy, because they don't know the importance of it, so they don't make themselves a priority. So they see you making yourself a priority, and they're jealous. They're upset because they think that they can't do that themselves.
Yeah, and I feel like sometimes they don't value that. You know, like, they think it's shallow to be concerned with your appearance, or they put no value on it in order for them to believe it's okay to put no effort into their appearance. And I grew up in a military household. You know, my father was in the Navy. Obviously, you know, the Navy is very strict about your appearance, you know, certain haircuts and certain uniforms. And, you know, you have a very strict expectation for your appearance. And then my mother was a cosmetologist. Walking out of the house looking like a slob was not an option, you know, because my dad was very, you know, clean cut. Like, when you look your best, you do your best. He was a very strong believer in, if you don't really feel so great, if you feel like you're catching a cold, get up, take a shower, blow dry your hair, put on some makeup, and put on your favorite outfit, and you're going to feel better. And he's right. It works. But if I let myself, like, lay around in some sweats, I'm going to have a full-blown cold by noon. I mean, no doubt. Every single time. Mm-hmm. And my mom, being a hairstylist and managing hair salons, she was like, you are basically like a walking business card for me. You're not leaving this house. She's like, I can't have, like, who's going to trust me to do their hair when my own daughter's walking? No, ma'am. You know, like, my parents, like, we'll write you a tardy note before you're going to school looking like that. So you better get up there and get it done. And that has just stuck with me, and I'm the same way with my son. You're not leaving the house with bedhead. You're not wearing wrinkled clothes. Like, come on. Like, if we make ourselves look good, we feel good. And I know that for me, as I get older,
wait to struggle, or we notice, you know, every little wrinkle and every gray hair. So for me, if even if all I'm doing is going to a soccer game, if I force myself to put on a halfway cute outfit, make sure that my hair is not greasy and, you know, I've got a little bit of makeup on, I will feel so much more confident and comfortable talking to other people. And I think that I will be happier because I don't feel like, I don't know what the word is, like insecure, I guess, about my appearance. So for me, I guess that is probably the biggest form of self-care for me is, you're not going to catch me without my makeup done unless I'm at home. I don't plan on going. And that doesn't mean I'm not, like, walking around with, you know, stage makeup on every day. But I make myself presentable enough that if I bumped into somebody at Walmart, I wouldn't be mortified. You know?
Right.
That's basically my rule. Like, if I ran into, like, my ex-boyfriend's mom at Walmart, would I want to cry? And if the answer is yes, then I can't leave the house yet. So, and I just find that I feel gives me just a little bit, it bumps me up a couple notches, you know, every day if I feel like I look all right, you know?
Yeah.
But that's really about the most I'm doing. I might light a candle occasionally when I'm cleaning or, I got to get better. I know that I have to get better. I need to start scheduling. I just need to put it in my planner. Like, you have to go to the gym on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays or whatever. I've got to do it because I know that that's been my biggest thing is just forcing myself to schedule certain things instead of saying, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And I would
not beating yourself up if you fail at, you know, putting everything on your to-do list or putting something on your planner, on your scheduler, or however you do it. Like, even if you miss a day, it's like, okay, I can start tomorrow. I can do it again. You know, I can take 5 to 10 minutes to meditate just to pull away, or I can exercise. And exercise, it doesn't have to be any type of strenuous work. You don't have to lift weights. Like, just like Leanne said, you know, walking or, you know, doing a couple of crunches, you know, maybe just 5 to 10 crunches, and then you can, you know, continue to elevate a little bit and you get to maybe 20 crunches or something. But just starting out small, and then you can progress to, like, more time with yourself. Like, maybe as the kids get older, maybe having 30 minutes or you actually have a whole day to yourself. But just baby steps. Like, don't just take a huge leap, because if you are dealing with that guilt, like, you'll really beat yourself up. So just, you know, 5 to 10 minutes, and then just let it progress over time.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. So what do you ladies do for self-care? Like, what's your go-to for yourself?
My go-to for myself is putting the children to bed early. 8 o'clock is their bedtime. And then at that time, it's quiet time for me. I turn on my music, and I usually listen to, like, meditation music or something, like, with the ocean or something just very peaceful that takes me away from just all the chaos. And I light candles, and I just sit and I just listen to absolutely nothing, and it just brings me so much joy and peace. And, you know, and sometimes I'll just turn on some happy music and I'll dance around the house and perform in front of an imaginary crowd and just, like, let myself loose and
love it.
Like, those are happy things, you know, or grab a coloring book and, you know, just take you back to the childhood days and just get on the floor and color in a coloring book for hours. Just something that just is, like, it's fun, it's exciting, you know, and just going and get a pedicure. That's my biggest thing, is I have to have my pedicure. So I go and I do that for myself. But I also, because I know the struggle with single moms, you know, financially or feeling guilty. And sometimes the biggest thing is sometimes just financially not having it, because if I go and, you know, I really want to get a pedicure, I want a manicure, but if I spend that, well, I really have to put groceries on the table, or the kids need some shoes. So for my single moms that are in my community or even in my circle, I'll say, hey, girl, come along with me. You know, I'll take care of it. You know, I'll take care of your bill today. So that's really important, too. Like, if you do have it, you know, inviting another single mom along and taking care of her.
Right.
Love that.
Oh, yeah, awesome. That's awesome.
And sometimes when I visit my mom, she's pretty good about that. She's like, hey, I was sending to go get a pedicure. Your dad's gonna watch the kids, and I'm gonna take you my treat. Man, nothing makes me happier in the world than someone to be like, hop in the car, I'm taking you to get a pedicure. Like, mm-hmm. It's like the clouds part and the angels sing. Like, that is. And it's funny because they're not even, I mean, it's $25 or $30. You know, like, it's not the end of the world, but it's right. Something that, for me, I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, that's everything.
It's
like, that's breakfast groceries for 10 days in our house or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I always find myself calculating things like that. And so when someone else says that they, you know, they're going to treat me to something like that, it is unbelievable. And I know that when I find my, you know, when I've been in a position to be able to do little things like that for somebody, I always do it, you know. And I have, every now and then I'll have people who reach out to me and say, you know, hey, a really good friend of mine, you know, she's, you know, just now entering into, you know, single motherhood, you know, what can I do to help her? I'm really clueless, you know. And I will always tell them, get them things that they would never in a million years spend money on themselves. Don't give them Target gift cards. Give her a gift card to a store that does not sell things for kids. Get her a nail salon gift certificate. Get her, you know, gift certificate to a store that she likes that does not sell things for kids. Because if you buy her a gift certificate that sells things for kids, she's going to spend it on the kids. She's not going to spend it on herself.
Yeah.
You know, I have a couple of different friends that have gone through divorces, and I've got them, like, the really nice, expensive candle at Anthropologie that we all go in there and smell it, but, like, none of us buy it. It's, like, $30 for a candle.
Yeah.
And I'll do that for, like, their birthday or Christmas or something, because I know mm-hmm. them, and I know they go in that store and smell that candle, because I do it, too. I just go in there and smell it, and then I leave it there.
So
I try to find, like, little things like that, you know, like, you know, or, you know, if I have a single mom friend that is really struggling financially, and I've been there, I will do things like, you know, find out what laundry detergent she uses or what cleaning product she likes and drop off that stuff, because people don't realize how expensive that stuff is.
Yeah.
And I actually get a lot out of doing little things like that for people. But, like, I mean, laundry detergent is atrociously expensive, and so are high-quality cleaning products. And those are things that, you know, if a lady was to find herself on assistance, like, it's not going to help pay for that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not going to buy the six-month package of toilet paper and paper towels at Costco for her. But it doesn't cost you a lot to do stuff like that. So, sometimes doing things like that actually does a lot for me personally. Like, I get a lot out of that, doing that for somebody
I was just going to say that. I mean, doing something for somebody else is actually, we're doing it for somebody else, but it helps us too, because that's actually my Adopt-A-Mom program. That's how that started. It was when my mom was dying of cancer, and we knew it was her last Christmas. It really sucked. It was horrible. Our whole family was just awful. So I wanted to do something to cheer myself up, and that's the best thing I could think of, was to do something for somebody else. My mom mm-hmm. was a single mom. I was a single mom, and so, like, single mom just seemed to be the perfect thing to do. Perfect thing to do something for someone. And being a single mom, I know at Christmas time, you know, we always put our kids first. We don't care about ourselves. We just want our kids to be happy. I mean,
right.
We just want them to have anything. And so I started this, and my mom, God love her, she was like the first one to be like, all right, I want to adopt a mom. And, you know, and that's what we did for Christmas. So for that first year, we bought 10 gifts for 10 local single moms who would not have anything for themselves, and we delivered them. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, once you
that's
get
awesome.
Past the look of like, who the heck are you and what are you doing here?
Right.
I mean, it was just so amazing. Like, you give them, these
amazing.
Women something that are not going to have, you know, granted, that's not what we're looking for at the holidays. We want for our children, but to know that there's somebody thinking about us, there's, mm-hmm. we're not alone, and that somebody cares enough to do something. And it's
absolutely.
So I just love it. And that's a huge thing. I mean, doing something for someone else is, it's part of you're loving yourself by giving yourself a little piece of yourself. And there's so much reward that you can get. And, you know, that you get your, all those, like, emotion. You know, it's just so rewarding. And you get to pay it forward. Other people pay it forward. And just knowing
you get the,
were a
you get
piece
that
of that.
Feeling inside, like,
yeah.
when you've done something awesome.
Yeah.
Especially
it's just,
if it's someone that could never in a million years repay it. Like, you just get that.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's awesome. You know, I went through some really rough times last year financially and had some people surprise me with, you know, in that way as well. And it was so overwhelming, but it was so beautiful for my son, who still believes in Santa. And it didn't really occur to me the first year that he was old enough to notice. He got very upset and didn't understand why Santa completely forgot about me. And so upset that a year later, when it was time to fill out his Christmas list, he didn't want to because he was still mad and didn't want to ask Santa for something because he was like, he forgot you last year and that's not cool, you know, kind of thing. And so I mean, I had to start, like, throughout the year, I'd see little things like in the little dollar section at Target or something on clearance or something that I just needed anyway. And I would just, like, wrap it up. But and he is 9, but he still very much believes in Santa. And so I still have to do that. I buy something at the store that I need and I just wrap it up because, like, he doesn't understand, like, why. Because to him, he's just like, you're so important. And I love you so much. How could somebody forget you? Kind of thing.
That is sweet. That is real sweet.
Yeah. With our children, that's
and I try to talk to other single moms about that. Like, when I have friends that have gone through divorces or have, you know, had a relationship fail and have found themselves being a single mom. And I'm like, you know, I've been doing this for almost 10 years. And, you know, there's little things like that that I'll try to give them a heads up about, you know, that don't figure it out like the hard way or, you know, just go ahead and, you know, or I'll give them some things, you know, that I found. I'm like, hey, just go, trust me, just wrap these up and put them under your tree. I promise.
But that's part of self-care and self-love is just doing something for yourself too. And I mean, with a holiday, you have a little bit of an excuse, you know, do something for you. You deserve something too. And it's, our children see that. And I've watched videos where the children, you know, you ask children what they want for Christmas and they want something for their parents, not for themselves. Yep. And that's because they want for you just like you want for them. So they're going to understand when you do stuff for yourself. And they're going to just be that much happier for you. And because you will be happier. So it makes a big difference.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty in children is that sometimes we feel like our efforts as moms go unnoticed. It's like, who recognizes me or who pats me on the back or who encourages, you know, the encourager? Because we as moms, we're always encouraging our children. We're always encouraging other people. But when our kids are like, Mom, I want to make sure that you're okay, or Mom, I want to make sure that you get a gift for Christmas, it makes you feel good, and it's like, wow, you know, my efforts aren't in vain, you know, my children notice, you know, and in their eyes, you're like, you're their hero, like, they look up to us, and they think the world of us, so even when other people on the outside think we're like the crappiest people, like we're the worst, like, they think we are the most amazing people on the planet, and we can do no wrong, so I think that's amazing thing about having children is because they're so innocent and they see the best in us even when we don't see the best in ourselves.
Yeah,
I have definitely said, I've said it once a million times that I want to, like, if I could find a man that looks at me the way a dog does when I get home from church and that talks to me or about me the way that my son does, I would be like the luckiest girl in the whole world. If I could just find somebody that did those, you know, those few things, you know, I would be doing great. My son is very, I think he's very in tune. Like, he knows what kind of things I like. Like, he knows what stores I like. He knows, you know, like my mom will take him, you know, when it's my birthday or it's Christmas or something. And she's like, he knows you so well. And he absolutely knows, like, what I would like and what I would not like and is very opinionated about that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every year at when he goes to see Santa, he always has added something in there. And unbeknownst to me, because I always ask what he's going to ask for because I'm trying to take notes, like, in line. Sure, he's not going to throw me for a loop, you know, when he gets to Santa's laugh. Like, he's not going to ask for something that is not in my closet. And, every day, and he'll tell me, but then it never fails. He'll get up there, and he'll be like, I'd really like it if you brought this for my mom, or like, 2 years ago, he asked Santa for a step. That was so embarrassing. Everybody just looked at me like, did you hear what he just said? And I didn't. And the little elf that was giving me, like, the copy of the picture was like, yeah, he totally told Santa he wanted a stepdad. So you might want to get on that. You got about 22 days, ma'am. Well, that was not going to happen this year. So, yeah.
That's funny because I have a 30-day challenge that I do with women, and my 30-day Fuller Life Challenge. And that's one of the things is when you're doubting yourself or not valuing yourself or not knowing how great you are, look at yourself from others' perspectives, from those around you that love you. And that's like the perfect example with your son, you know, looking at yourself through his eyes and how amazing that he thinks you are. It just changes how you feel about yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. I'm always so taken aback when I overhear somebody or I say something negative about myself without even realizing I've done it. And the person that I'm talking to kind of comes back at me with, are you kidding me? Like, you're the best at this or you're that. And I'm looking at them like, you're right. I am that person. Sometimes I just forget. Or I tend to focus on all the little things that I feel that I'm failing at and not all the things that I'm not failing at. So.
And that's another part of self-care is what I tell women is to affirm yourself because other people are not going to do it for you. A lot of times, you know, it takes that negative comment for someone to say, oh, no, you're beautiful. You know, rare people, even us as women, like we're so hard on ourselves, but we also become hard on other women. And so, you know, we rarely give compliments to other people or even ourselves. So we have to be willing to affirm ourselves and say, I'm beautiful. I'm creative. I'm powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, I have purpose. Like, I know what I've been called to do. I am loved. I love me. Like, you have to affirm yourself, and you have to do it every day. Because there's so much negative energy around us, and, you know, you have to be able to build your own positive environment. Mm-hmm. And so when negative things do come your way or those thoughts are popping in your mind and you're saying, oh, you're not good enough or you're not that smart or you'll never have a husband or you'll always be single. Like you're saying to myself, no, I'm going to be married. You know, I'm going to be successful. You know, I'm going to get the dream job that I want. You know, I'm going to have a better car. You know, like you have to affirm yourself. And that is so powerful when you can be able to speak life into your life without waiting for someone else to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you mentioned compliments and dealing with other women. It's funny. I've watched an episode of Oprah when I was a senior in high school, and it was actually all about this, you know, about women building up other women and how, you know, we had this mean girl culture long before the movie Mean Girls came out, and that it was almost like trying to build yourself up by standing on the backs of others. And I remember that the takeaway from that show was that for the rest of your life, even if it's just one person a day, find one person a day to pay them a compliment and mean it.
Okay.
Whether it's their outfit or their haircut or their smile or their perfume or you know, mm-hmm. something. It doesn't matter what it is, but to find yep. something to compliment. And bonus point, if the person you choose looks like they really need it, maybe
yeah.
they're not being, you know, maybe yeah. they're not being very friendly. Maybe it's the lady at the counter in the post office and she's being a real piece of work. And then mm-hmm. you dig deep and you give and you pay her a genuine, sincere compliment and watch her entire demeanor change.
Mm-hmm.
And you
yeah.
have just now changed her day. You've maybe mm-hmm. made her week. And everybody in line behind you for the rest of the day is going to have a better experience mm-hmm. as a human being. You know, and so
yeah.
it really sunk in for me. And I, for the last 17 years, every day I try to make sure, I'm just walking past somebody on the street that they have a really awesome haircut. Or,
mm-hmm.
you know, I see a lady sitting in a restaurant and I want to know where she got those boots. I'm going to walk over there and tell her, your boots are awesome and I need to know where you got those. And did you get them
mm-hmm.
this season or did you get them last season? Like, can I get them in the store right now or do I need to check eBay? You know, I just don't shy away from that because I feel like it's one of those things, like you put it out there and it will grow and it will multiply. And, you know, kind of like, you know, you mentioned earlier, it's up to us to kind of change this culture and this stereotype of, oh, you're being selfish or you're being lavish and, you know, you must not take care of your kids because you're taking care of yourself. And, you know, like it's up to us to change that mindset and show that that's not true. I think that it's also up to all of us to, you know, put some good out there and it's going to
yeah.
change things. And, you know, that's going to make an impact on someone. And if they're walking around with a big smile on their face, now they're probably going to get some more compliments from some more people because people are going to
mm-hmm.
notice that they kind of have a glow about them because you just made them feel really good about themselves. And maybe it will give them the courage to do the same thing to somebody else. And then that person will do it. And then that person will do it. You're like,
yeah.
that person's going to remember, man, I left the house today feeling like crap about myself. I felt like my hair looked bad and my makeup was, you know, I didn't have time to put on makeup and I didn't like my outfit, but this lady passed me on the street and told me that I had a beautiful smile, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think then tomorrow when she wakes up, she's going to be like, no, I do have a beautiful smile and I'm going to feel good about myself today. And it's just, you just don't know how just one simple little, but the thing is you have to mean it because they're going to,
yeah.
one, they're going to know if they don't
mm-hmm.
have, I mean, if she's wearing some dirty sweatpants and you tell her you like her outfit, that doesn't work.
No.
That doesn't work. You got to be telling the truth. You got to be sincere. You got to be genuine. That's something that, I also find it gives me a little boost too. Like when I see
mm-hmm.
that person's face light up and they're like, thank you so much. Or they get like teary eyed or want to hug you because you just said something nice to them. That makes me feel great. Like it's a
yeah.
game changer for me. Like, man, I'm gonna have a great day now because I just totally made somebody else have a good day. So nothing's gonna go wrong today.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of gives me just a, I don't know, like a little emotional high a little bit for
mm-hmm.
for a while. And so I try to remember. I make a very conscious effort to do that every single day, even
mm-hmm.
when I don't want to. Even when I might not even like that person. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
like I've been able to change relationships with colleagues or maybe with people that I was having to be around but I didn't necessarily want to. But I wasn't going to ever get out of having to be around them because maybe I live next door to them or maybe their child's on the same team or,
mm-hmm.
you know, our kids go to the same school or, you know, our you know, family friends or, you know what I mean? Something like that. And I'm like, how can I make this relationship better so it doesn't make me so miserable? And so
mm-hmm.
sometimes I got to dig deep and I really got to look for something that I can compliment, but I'll find
mm-hmm.
something. And
mm-hmm.
then I'll notice that it chips a little bit at the hardness of the relationship. And then, you know, maybe the next time I see that person, I dig deep and I find something else and dig deep and find something else. And, you know, and I've been able to really cultivate and turn around some of those relationships. And it's probably kind of a weird form of self-care, but for me, it just makes me feel good, like knowing that I'm putting some good some good juju out there for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't cost
karma.
You anything to do that. Right?
Karma.
I'm like, oh, man, let me put out some good karma out there so they can come find me later.
But, you know, and that's the funny thing. That's the funny thing, though. How often do you give somebody a compliment and they'll say, oh, my God, I love your shirt? Or, you know, it always comes back. Like,
uh-huh.
All right, not always. 90% of the time, it's going to come back to you, you know. And sometimes there's no hope. But generally, when you compliment somebody, they're going to compliment you back. And there's such a domino effect. Just like you said, the domino effect is amazing. And you can change somebody's day, their week, maybe even their life, and you wouldn't even realize it. You don't know what other people's struggles are.
I want to say it was 1999 or 2000, you know, watching that episode of Oprah. Like, who knew? Because Oprah came on, like, 15 minutes after I got home from school every day. So I watched Oprah, like, every day when I would get home from school. And I've recently heard majority of that show, but I can't remember whose show it was on. It might have been, I don't think it was Ellen. It was something else. And it was in, like, a video that somebody shared on Facebook. But it was actually connecting all of that to the suicide epidemic. And it was just like, you never, ever know what that person that you're walking past or sitting next to in a restaurant or sitting next to on the subway or whatever. Like, you have no idea what that person is going through. And that person could literally be in their head, like, making the decision that today was going to be their last day. And all it would take is just that one. You just never know. Like, that could be, because they could feel like no one in the world notices them. Like, stop letting people feel unnoticed. If you notice something, say something. Like, you have really beautiful hair, or I've never seen eyes that blue, or, man, you have a great smile. I love your sense of style. Those shoes are awesome. Where did you get your nails done? I love your manicure. Like, it just doesn't take that much. And, you know, that those just little teeny tiny things just make such an impact on people, and then they make an impact on others. And I encourage my son to do the same thing. You know, I tell him all the time, I'm like, man, I love that you are such a little soccer star. And I love that you make straight A's. And I love that you get good conduct grades. Like, those things are all awesome. But at the end of the day, I want you to be the boy that sits with a new student on his first day of school and he doesn't have anybody to sit with at lunch. Or I want you to be the one, you know, that stands up and tells people to knock it off when they're picking on somebody. Or, you know, the one that, you know, one of your classmates has a broken leg and she's on a little scooter. I want you to be the one to walk at the end of the line and hold the doors for her. Or, you know, I'm like, at the end of the day, those are the things that are actually more important to me. Like, yeah, I want you to make good grades and I want you to have good conduct, you know, but to me it's more about being a good person. And I'm like, you're going to feel really good about yourself, too. You know, and other people are going to notice that, but you're going to feel really good about yourself if you know that you're that person that's doing those things. And so, you know, we talk about that stuff all the time. You know, you put the good stuff out there, you get the good stuff back. We take care of ourselves, you know, and that encourages other people to take care of themselves. You know, we take care of ourselves. Our children know that when they're adults that they got to take care of themselves. Not, well, I don't know when my mom did all that stuff. You know, like, don't wait until... Like, I used to, like, wait until he would go to sleep, and I would stay up until, like, 1 o'clock in the morning cleaning. And so, like, he would just wake up every day, and the house was spotless, and he just
like, oh, my God.
Yeah. It's like, he didn't realize, like, how much time I was, like, spending on that. And then when he started playing sport, I was just too exhausted. And so I would have to start doing housework on the weekends, like, during the day or, you know, whatever, because I couldn't stay up till 1 o'clock anymore. I was wiped out. And I think he's gotten a pretty real dose, like, the last couple of years. Like, wow, all this stuff doesn't get done by itself. Or, you know, when we lived in Memphis, I had a housekeeper that came twice a month, and that's not something that I can afford where we live now. I have to do 100% of everything. And he's definitely gotten some a real big dose of reality. You know, that these things don't do themselves, and he's learning to help and to do chores as well.
But he also understands, you know, when I say, look, I love you so much, and I'm so glad that we're home together all day today, but I'm going to go read this book for 30 minutes. Please don't knock on the door. Like, you're going to be okay for 30 minutes. Go watch a cartoon. Go play some Minecraft. I really don't care. But I'm going to go, like, go read this book for 30 minutes because I need to be by myself for 30 minutes, you know, and he gets it. And so now sometimes, you know, he'll even be like, do you need anything? I'm going to make a snack. Do you want one? Or, you know, whatever. Like, he understands now. I think he's seen my crazy a couple of times, and he gets it. He's like, you're gonna have your nap tomorrow, right? You know, kind of thing. Like, he knows by Sunday evening, I'm like itching. Like, I'm so ready for my Monday nap that everybody knows I'm ready for that nap. You know, it's time. You know, kind of that's my resetting my batteries time. So
yeah. See, you're better than the self-care than you thought.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm feeling good.
I just have to really think about it. I'm like, I guess that I do self-care, but maybe don't realize that's what it is. I think because sometimes it just looks so different. You know, like I have friends that are like, oh, order these bubble bath bomb things and lay in your tub. And I'm like, I'm 5'10". Okay. I don't really do baths because I don't, half my body's going to be cold. So I'm 5'10". This does not work. And sitting in a hot bath of my own sweat when I live in the South is just not, it's not appealing. Like, I'd rather take like a cold shower because that's just not appealing to me. I've already been walking around sweating all day. I don't want to take a hot shower and sweat some more.
So that's the beauty of it, though.
I think sometimes people are all the things that they're suggesting. I'm looking at them like, why would anybody want to do that? I am doing some things. It's just I don't realize maybe that it's self-care. Like, I don't realize that, like, some of the things that I do, I'm actually doing it for other people, but I'm doing it because it makes me feel good, I guess.
Yeah. But that's the beauty of self-love and self-care, is it is different for everybody. You decide what it looks like for you. So clearly your nap on Monday and, you know, these things that you, like, your compliments to everybody and taking that half an hour to read your book and having your son help you with the chores so that you and he can go to the movies together. That's all part of self-care. It doesn't have to be what other people define it as. It's what you define it as.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I just have, like, this, like dream in my head of, like, self-care. Like, I get to go to the spa every week and, you know, like,
the fairy tale self-care.
I get to drop my laundry off at the fluff and fold service, and they're going to wash it and fold it for me, and then they're going to come over and they're going to put it all away. You know, and sometimes I'm like, Harry Potter had a house elf that did all the cleaning while they were there. Like, I don't understand. It's like, where is my house elf? Like, I feel very gypped. I don't have some, like, elf, like, enslaved to me to clean my house. And I can give him a sock when it's time for him to leave. Like, yeah, I don't. I don't know if y'all have read Harry Potter, but
yes,
my son and I always joke when the house starts to get out of control. I'm always like, we need a Dobby, you know, like Dobby.
Where's Dobby?
I'm like, where is Dobby? Yes. He will laugh so hard. He's like, Mom, this is the real world. We do not get house elves to clean But I want one, you know.
So. Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, we're going to start wrapping it.
Any last suggestions or any last tips or tricks for our ladies that are going to be listening?
The last tip I would give is, if you can't afford it, is to go to counseling. Yeah. That is a huge thing. I know a lot of people shy away from it and they think, oh, that's a strength and there's something wrong with me. Look, it's something wrong with all of us. We all have issues. We all have flaws. We all have things that need to be corrected. We all have things that we want to get better at. And so really, like, having that counseling session or that therapist is just someone helping you get to the next level. So I think counseling is really important for us as single moms, as women, to be able to just kind of get to the next level, kind of deal with some of those deep-rooted issues we may not know how to deal with. And if you can't afford counseling, find you a friend to talk to and, you know, talk about your week and your stuff, because you don't want to bottle all that stuff up because it doesn't help you in the long run. So find a trusted friend that you can just kind of talk about and vent some of your things that you're going through in your life.
I could not agree with that more. I love my therapist. She's fantastic, and I was one of those people that always believed, like, you had to go through some specific traumatic event to go to therapist, and I didn't realize, like, you could just go.
Yeah.
She was life-changing for me. Like, she is fantastic, and she is really big on affirmations, and, you know, she's like, I wish, she's like, you should hear the way you talk about yourself. What is wrong with you? You know, like, she's like, you cannot talk about yourself like this. Like, no wonder, mm-hmm. you know, kind of thing. And so she has been very instrumental in kind of getting past that. Like, stop mm-hmm. picking yourself apart. She's like, all you do is focus on the negatives. You know, you've got to focus on all these really awesome things about yourself. But what mm-hmm. I want people to realize is sometimes they don't realize just how affordable it can be. Mm-hmm. Even if you're, you know, if your health insurance doesn't cover it, a lot of times your employer does.
Yeah.
You know, maybe only 6 sessions or 12 sessions or something like that, but it's something to look into. A lot of times your employer will cover a certain amount of sessions, you know, and sometimes it's like per year. That's something to look into. And then a lot of churches, especially if you have what's called a recovery church in your area, will have free or sliding income-based Christian counselors that are happy to help you out. And there's so many options out there to be able to find, you know, therapy that is not outrageously expensive. You might have to do a little bit of digging, and, you know, maybe that's something that we can link in the blog tomorrow. But I wholeheartedly agree with, you know, having a therapist. And because for me, sometimes I just feel like, I don't want my friends to cringe and be like, oh, man, what is she going to dump on me now? You know, like, I want to be happy and whole and happy and fun with my friends. And it's nice to be able to just drop all that off at the therapist's office. And then it's already been talked about. It's, like, been discussed. It's out there. It's done. I don't need to talk about it anymore. And now I can talk about, like, happy, fun stuff with my friends instead of, oh, man, I don't have time to talk to her right now because mm-hmm. I can't do it. You know, like, I don't want people dodging my calls. So I mm-hmm. I like talking to the therapist. And then I don't have to hold anything back. Like, you just leave it all out there because they can't tell anybody anyway. You know?
That's awesome.
So I'm so glad that you brought that up. That is, if anything, that is probably the most, maybe the most important thing that we've touched on tonight is just how absolutely therapeutic counseling can be. So I am 100% there with you.
So just to recap, ladies, you said therapy is good for self-care and scheduling in some time to do something you like, and every self-care is individually good for you, whatever you feel like you want to do. And no grand justice. Loving yourself is the best self-care. A happy mom is a happy home. And that we should speak life into things.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. So, I think the only thing I would like to add to that is just learn to love yourself. Be comfortable mm-hmm. with who you are. Be comfortable in your own company. Because when you can do that, this self-love and self-care will be so much easier for you.
Yep. Well, ladies, tell us what y'all doing, where to find you at on social media, what's going on with y'all. Who want to go first?
Awesome. So I'm Calandra Williams. You can find me on Facebook at Calandra Williams. You'll see my profile. It's the same across the board. Also, I'm on Instagram at Radical Woman of God. And at my website, it's www.truthwritten.com.
And you can find me at, and it's Leanne Fuller. It's L-E-A-A-N-N, Fuller, F-U-L-L-E-R. You can find me on Facebook. It's Fuller Life LLC. My website is lovingyourfullerlife.com. You can listen into my radio show on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Welcome to Your Fuller Life. I also have a 30-day program that I offer for women. For basically, I call it the 30-day Fuller Life Challenge, and basically it is you get a workbook and you get 30 days of challenges, and a lot of it is similar to what we've discussed tonight based on self-care, finding the life you want, what's holding you back, and how you're going to get there. You can find that by opting in on my website at, again, lovingyourfullerlife.com. And you can also schedule free discovery calls there. And I'd love to talk to you and about coaching.
Awesome. Well, it's time to get on out of here, but before we do, we want to thank all our sponsors and listeners and, of course, our network family, making sure you stay connected to Stage Network by linking, following us and giving us heart on all social media, Stage Mentoring. Until next time, stay safe, avoid the dramas, and raise those babies. Good night, ladies. Thanks.
Good night. Have a good night. Bye.
It's a journey, sacrifice, but I wouldn't trade it in for my life. It feels like the world's on my